Good morning. Y'all are awake. That's good. Who's ready for summer? I'm so tired of the cold. Before we get into what we're going to talk about, just in case you didn't hear, we have something to celebrate as a church family because Brian and Callie had their baby this past week. I think we got a picture of little Madison there. I think Brian posted this on Twitter and said that, you know, I think they call this the home wrecker at Moe's because, you know, she's wrapped up like a little burrito. But it's cool. It's just, we just want to celebrate with them. And some of you have already helped them out by doing some meals. But if you haven't got on the meal train, you can go to our Facebook page. And there's a link to the meal train where you can do some meals for them. And we're going to have an opportunity to do some more meals coming up because we're about to have another couple. Y'all are here this morning, so you haven't had the baby yet. But really soon, Brent and Bonnie are going to have our first boy in a really long time at Hub City. We've had all these girls, and doggone it, the guy's got to catch up. And so finally, we're going to have a boy. But there'll be another opportunity to do some meals for them coming up as well. But it's just really cool to be able to celebrate that. And then we had a little baby born in my family this week, not like my immediate family, but Liz's sister had a baby this week, and so it's really cool. They named her Elizabeth after Liz, so it was really awesome, you know, so it's a cool little deal. Y'all didn't need to know that, but now you do. So I have a niece. I've never had a niece. You know, I'm an uncle to a little girl. It's really, really cool. So we're going to dive into what we're going to talk about this morning, and I'm just really glad you're here, because I think God has something he wants to say to you. I don't think you're here by accident, and I just want to encourage you to lean in to whatever it is that God says to you this morning. And that's what I'm going to say next kind of is going to sound weird coming after that. But I think that if we were all honest, there's a time in all of our lives when we wish we could just have a new life, right? I mean, there are just times where we just wish we could have a different life, a new kind of life. And maybe it's just like we just want a new job, or maybe we want a new financial situation, or maybe we just would love some new habits because our older habits have kind of driven us crazy. Did I go out? Did my mic go out for a minute? I don't think so. I just thought I went. I'm just hearing myself weird this morning. Okay, that was good. It wasn't just me hearing things. That's good. But maybe we want new relationships because the net relationships that we're in aren't working. Or maybe we just want to be a new person altogether. And I was thinking about this idea of just wanting a new life this past week. And I was reminded back when I was a teenager. And we would sing this song when I was in youth group as a teenager that kind of tapped into that desire that all of us have a little bit. And it's kind of a spiritualized version of We Want a New Life. And the lyrics to that kind of go like this. We're going to put them up on the screen. I'm not going to sing it to you. But it says, make me new, Lord Jesus, make me new. For I know that in so many ways I'm not enough like you. Take this weary vessel I've been and mold me once again. Change my heart, change my spirit, make me new. I just loved that prayer as a teenager. And I started, I've kind of made that a prayer of mine throughout my years, that I just, because there are times when we just want a new life, but if we were honest, most of us don't spiritualize our new life desires like that. You know, we're not as spiritual when it comes to the new life that we want, and that's why we do kind of things like we quit jobs to pursue different careers, or maybe we quit a marriage to pursue a different relationship, or maybe we run away from home, or maybe we run away from church or whatever, but our pursuit of this new life isn't always spiritual a lot of times, and I get that. I understand that. Well, what if I were to tell you that I think that God wants you to have a new life? What if I were to tell you that desire that you have at times for something new, for just a new life, that was actually put in you by God, that God planted in you the desire for something new? And it might not look like your daydreams of your new life, because all of us have daydreams of the new life that we would want, but that there's something there that God says, I have something new for you. That God wants you to have a new life. And he doesn't want you to leave your spouse or to run away from home or to run away from church. But when you have that kind of angst inside of you that says that this life isn't all that it's cracked up to be, man, that's from God. He planted that in you. And I want us to look at that this morning, because this desire for a new life doesn't have to be just wishful thinking for us. It doesn't have to even be a prayer for us. But what we're going to discover today is that Jesus came to give all of us a new life. Jesus came to trade out our old life for something new. And like I said, it may not be the life of your daydreams, but it's the life of his dreams for your life. And I want us to look at that this morning. If you have your Bible, you can open up to 2 Corinthians. As you're kind of looking that up, let me kind of catch you up on what we've talked about so far in this series. We've said that God is a God who's always interested in doing something new. He's a creative genius. And last week, we talked about how Jesus came to introduce a new covenant or a new agreement, a new way of us relating to God. And while in the past, people had to relate to God in such a way where they had to jump through a bunch of hoops and follow a bunch of rules in order to be made right with God, Jesus came and introduced a new way of relating to God that has nothing to do with following a bunch of rules, that has nothing to do with jumping through a bunch of hoops in order to make God happy. But Jesus came to say, there's a new way to relate to God, and I've taken care of all of the rules and everything. You just have to believe in me. You just have to trust in me. And Jesus ratified that agreement or that covenant with his blood when he shed his blood on the cross for us. That's why we can now have this new agreement with God. And that's kind of what we talked about last week, that there's this new way of relating to God, and we just have to accept the terms of the agreement. And the way that we accept the terms of the agreement is just by trusting Jesus, by believing in him, by putting our faith in him, by surrendering our lives to him. Well, something happens to us, and some of you have experienced this. Others of you, hopefully, you're going to experience this today. Something happens to us when we accept the terms of this new agreement. When we accept the terms of the new covenant, something happens inside of us, and something happens to us, something new. And that's what we're going to discover in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, you can pull it up on a Bible app. If you're on YouVersion, remember to go to the events section. All of the notes are there as well. If you need a Bible, there's some in the seat under the seats in front of you. Feel free to take that with you. It's yours to take home. But I want to read you just this section where Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and he's given them some instructions, and really he's talking about this new life here. And I'm going to read through all the verses, and then we're going to come back and kind of break them apart and see what he has to say to us. But let's just soak it all in. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Such a great passage. There's so much stuff in there, so let's kind of unpack that and see what he's talking about. And the first thing he says is in verse 17. And by the way, this is your memory verse this week. I encourage you to memorize verse 17 this week. Some of you memorized this back in Vacation Bible School. Others of you, you forgot it. But he says this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. This is the answer to that. If you want a new life, this is the new life right here, because what Jesus came to do is to make us into a new creation. And that's what Paul's talking about here, that he's going to trade your old and make you into something new, that you are now a new creation. You're no longer an old creation. You're now a brand new creation. The old is gone. It's no more. And I think that this whole idea of being a new creation has enormous implications for your life and for my life. And I want to just talk about three implications that actually come out of this passage of what it means to be a new creation. And the first one is found in the little phrase, in Christ. Because notice he says in the verse, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, that little phrase, in Christ, is very, very important to Paul. In fact, I don't know if you realize this or not, Paul uses that phrase 160 times throughout his letters. 160 times, Paul says, either in Christ or a variation of in Christ. It's that important of a phrase, which makes you go, why would he use this one phrase so many times? I mean, what's the big deal about this one phrase? Well, I think Paul's trying to drive home a point that we forget a lot of times. And the point he's trying to drive home is that you are now, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've accepted the terms of the agreement of the new covenant, you are now in Christ. In other words, you have a new identity. And your new identity is rooted in who you are in Christ, not in what you've done, not in your past. I mean, and if we think about it a lot, our identities, I mean, where is your identity rooted? I mean, there are so many things that define us a lot of times. I mean, so many times our identity is either found in our job, especially if you're a guy, right? Your identity. Somebody says, who are you? You know, you're like, well, I'm a whatever your job is. That's kind of how you define yourself a lot of times. Others of us, we define our identities by our mistakes, by things that we've done in the past. Or maybe it's in our successes, or in our talents, or in our nationality, or maybe in our sexuality, or maybe it's in what other people say about us. But we have all these things where that we use to define our identity. But Paul says, as a new creation, you have a brand new identity, and your new identity is in Christ, which means if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, your identity is in what Jesus says about you. And can I tell you something that I've discovered with just working with people for years and years and years who've been followers of Jesus for years and years and years? This is really, really hard for us to get stuck into our head. We let what other people say about us define our identity instead of what Jesus says about us to define our identity so often. And when we do that, we just kind of blow off what Paul says here. We just ignore what Paul says when he says you're a new creation, because as a new creation, you're now in Christ. You have a brand new identity. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, if you have your bulletin, you got to pull out your bulletin and you need to pull out your magnifying glass. Because the back of the bulletin is really, really tiny font. I was like, man, I shouldn't have sent you all those things, Trey, because that is like really, really tiny font. Like I'm, I know, and I'm like, I think I need reading glasses. You know, I have to hold it out. But on here, I've listed out just a snapshot, really, of who you are in Christ, of your new identity in Christ. And I just want to go over just a few of them there, so that you can just let this sink in. Because I don't know what you think about you when you think about you, but this is what Jesus says you are as a follower of Jesus. He says, in Christ, there's no condemnation for you. In Christ, you can never be separated from God's love. Isn't that incredible? You can never be separated from God's love. Nothing you do or nothing that is done to you can separate you from God's love. In Christ, you're a part of a body. You're not just an individual anymore. You're a part of this body of Christ. In Christ, which is the church. In Christ, you have wisdom. So many of you are at this point where you've got decisions to make about things. Do you realize that in Christ, you have wisdom available to you to make decisions? In Christ, your labor, what you do for God, is not in vain. I just love that right there. In Christ, we are a new creation. That's the verse we're looking at right now. In Christ, we become God's children. Let that sink in for a minute. In Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. In Christ, you have every spiritual blessing. That could be a whole 10-week series right there, what every spiritual blessing is. But there's so many. In Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. In Christ, we are chosen. I love that one. I love the whole idea of being chosen, because if you were like me growing up, whenever in gym class when they would pick teams, like I was like the second to last. I usually wasn't the last, but I was the second to last. You know, Jim said he was the last. I'm with you. In Christ, you're chosen. That's incredible. In Christ, you exist for the praise of God's glory. In Christ, you have been seated in the heavenly realms, which means that your position in eternity is with God in the heavenly realms. In Christ, you've been given the incomparable riches of God's grace. In Christ, you who were once far away from God have now been brought near to God. Talk about good news. You who were once separated relationally from God have now been brought near in a relationship with God. In Christ, you're being built together into something. Paul calls it a holy building, but your life matters. It counts for something, which we're going to get at in just a minute. And then just one more. In Christ, you are a light. You are a light. Jesus actually says you are the light of the world. That your identity, Paul wants us to know, is in Christ. And that list on your bulletin there is just a snapshot of your new identity. And I think that some of you in this room, you need to blow this up so you can read it. But what you need to do is you need to take some of these and you need to change how you think about yourself. I've had a number of conversations over the past 6 months telling people to change the way you think about yourself and that you need to use what God says about you instead of what you think about you or what somebody else says about you to define your identity. And there's that's a great place to start on that list. And let me just say, some of you in this room, you could just get up and leave now because that's exactly what you need. You need to change how you think about yourself, and it's a new creation. You have a brand new identity. But not only do we have a new identity, what he says next in verse 18 is we have a new relational standing with God. Look at what he says. He says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Paul tells us that we are now reconciled to God. Now, we don't like use the term reconciled. I mean, did anybody use that this week in a conversation with somebody? Probably not. Liar, Alan, you did not use that in a conversation. But so we don't even know what that word means, but to be reconciled means that we had a broken relationship and then the broken relationship got fixed, right? That once there was a broken relationship and now it's a fixed relationship. If you're married, have you ever had a fight with your spouse and there was a little rift there going on, and maybe it was a really big rift, but then you patch things up and you're all together. That's what it means to be reconciled. And what Paul says is there was a broken relationship with God, but now we have been brought back together relationally with God. That's what it means to be reconciled, that our relationship has been fixed. But here's where it connects to what we talked about last week. It's not because of anything you've done. See, most people think in order to be made right with God, you got to do a bunch of things, right? You got to jump through a bunch of hoops. You got to follow a bunch of rules. And if you do all these rules and you check off all the lists, then God is going to be happy with you, and you and God, you're going to be good. But what we learned last week and what Paul says right here is that it's not because of anything that you've done. It's because what Jesus has done, because he says he reconciled us to himself through Christ. It's through Christ that we have been reconciled to God. I think that's so important for us to remember so that we don't get cocky, so that we don't get arrogant about our standing, but so that we say it's all because of what Jesus has done for me, not what I have done. So he says, as a new creation, you have a new identity. You also have a new relational status with God. But then he gets to, I think this is my favorite part of the passage. He gives us a new purpose. And let me just say, have you ever just wondered why in the world you're here on this planet? Like, if you wondered, like, why does God have me here? Like, why am I in Spartanburg, South Carolina in 2019? I almost said 2018, but it's a new year. Why am I in Spartanburg, South Carolina in 2019? What's my purpose? Why am I here? Paul tells us, if you're a Christian, this is your purpose. This is why you're here. He says, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us, he's talking to Christians, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. What Paul says is that as new creations, you now have a brand new purpose, and that your new purpose is to be ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors of Jesus. Now, what do you think of when you think of an ambassador, right? You think of somebody who's a representative. You think of Nikki Haley, who's an ambassador to the UN. Actually, did she resign already? I can't remember. I thought she did. I should have looked that up. But But you think of someone who's a representative. You think of someone who isn't concerned with their own interests, but is concerned with the interest of the one that they're representing. Well, at the time that Paul wrote this letter, I just find this fascinating. You know, he wrote it, he was a part of the Roman Empire at the time, and the Roman Empire had this habit of sending ambassadors out to different areas. And the ambassadors that the Roman Empire would send out had four basic tasks. Four basic responsibilities. And I think this is kind of what Paul is getting at. But look at these four responsibilities that they had. We're going to put them up on the screen. The first responsibility of a Roman ambassador is they had a specific task to accomplish. Secondly, they traveled to a specific place to accomplish that task. Third, they were dedicated to the interest of the one who sent them, which was the Roman Empire, specifically the Roman Emperor. And then they did not return until the task was finished. I think when Paul was writing this letter, he knew exactly what was required of an ambassador, and that's why he specifically chose to use that term. Because I think he had this in mind. I mean, think about it. For those of us who are Christians, think about being an ambassador in these terms. I mean, first off, he says they had a specific task to accomplish. What is our task to accomplish as followers of Jesus? It's to make disciples of Jesus, right? That's our task that we've been given. We have a specific task, make disciples who make disciples. That's why that's our mission as a church. We want to make disciples. And the way we make disciples is through loving one another. We're going to talk about that next week. Don't miss next week. It may be my favorite thing to talk about ever, what we're talking about next week. But our specific task is to make disciples who make disciples. Also, they traveled to a specific place to accomplish this task. Do you know we are supposed to travel to a specific place to accomplish the task that God's given us? And that space that we're supposed to travel to is just the world in which we live in. And I think a lot of times, though, those of us who are Christians, we think that we're going to accomplish the task just by getting people to come to us. Like, we have this idea that if we could just get them to come to church, or if maybe they'll just show up, you know, that we can accomplish the task. But no, an ambassador is one who is sent to a specific place to accomplish the task. And I have good news for each of you in this room. You already live and work and play and go to school in places where you can accomplish this task, where there are people who don't think like you and don't believe like you and don't vote like you and don't behave like you and don't believe what you believe. You're surrounded by those people throughout the week. You have been sent to a specific place, your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, whatever, wherever you hang out, you know, your gym, your whatever. That's just a specific place where you've been sent to accomplish this task. Third, they were dedicated to the interest of the one who sent them. We as followers of Jesus should be dedicated to God's interest over and above our interests. But I think if we're honest, we usually prioritize our interests over God's interests most of the time. I mean, what do we daydream about? Think about that. You know, what do we spend most of our time doing? Where do we spend our money? But an ambassador is dedicated to the interest of the one who sent them. That means that for us as Christians, if we're going to be dedicated to God's interest, it should change how we relate to people, how we speak to people. It should change how we post or what we post online. It should change how we treat our family when we're when nobody's watching, right? Because we're dedicated to the interest of the one who sent us. And then, I love the last thing. It says, they did not return until the task was finished. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, I don't think the task is ever going to be finished until Jesus comes back, right? I mean, there are people all around the world. It's hard for us to think about this because we live in the Bible Belt, and, you know, we've got Christian bookstores, and we've got Christian radio stations, and we've got Christian mints, and we have all kinds of these Christian things, and there's, like, Jesus everywhere, you know what I mean? There's bad Christian television. There are horrible Christian movies. You know, we live in a place where Christianity is available, but there are people all over the world who've never heard of Jesus. I was reading this week, there's a group of people, Matthew, some of you guys know, was in Kazakhstan. If you go right across the border from Kazakhstan into China, there's a group of Kazakhs from the, I'm going to mess up this word, but they're from the Qinghai region of Western China. And this group of people who live in the Qinghai region of Western China have never, ever heard about Jesus. We can't fathom that. But it just goes back to us being ambassadors. Our task is not done until everybody knows about Jesus. And so we have a task to do, to be ambassadors of Jesus. I mean, talk about a purpose. That is our purpose as new creations. You are to be ambassadors of Jesus. But here's what's amazing about this passage. When Paul's writing this to this church in Corinth, and I think he's writing that to this to us, he's not just saying, hey, you guys need to do this. It's for him, it's a real personal thing. It's not just something that he expects of others, but it's something that Paul, it's really how he saw himself. Because look at what he says next. He says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, Paul knows that there are some people who are listening to this reading of this letter. Some people are listening to it and they are not new creations. They haven't accepted the terms of the new agreement. They're not Christians yet. And so he implores them, which means he urgently begs and pleads with them to be reconciled to God. And I think that what he says to them, he says to some of you in this room this morning. Because I think that most of us in this room probably are followers of Jesus, but there's some of you who aren't. And I think if Paul were standing up here on the stage right now, he would implore you, he would beg you, he would plead with you to be reconciled to God. You have an opportunity to have a relationship with God, and it has nothing to do with what you've done and everything to do with what Jesus has done for you, and he would beg you to be reconciled with God. And that's why he says, he tells us why. Verse 21, he says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is one of those times where I love Paul's wording, but I wish that he would like speak in 2019 terms. Because basically what he says here is there's a trade. And Jesus trades, he gives his righteousness to you and lets you give your sin to him. It's this incredible trade where we trade our sin for his righteousness. Where we trade everything we've done wrong and all of our mistakes and all of our times that we've fallen short for his perfection and his right standing with God. And Paul says, look, that's available to you. And that's why he says to be reconciled to God, to be made right with God, because Jesus has given us this incredible trade where he takes all of our sin and gives us all of his unrighteousness. All of his righteousness. It's this incredible thing. So here's the deal. You want a new life? I think all of us, there are times when we'd say, yes, we want a new life. Well, as followers of Jesus, I have good news. You are a new creation. The old life is gone. You're a brand new creation with a brand new identity. And it's not in what other people have said about you. It's not in what you've done. It's not in the mistakes you've made or the successes that you've had, but your brand new identity is in Christ. You have a brand new relational standing with God, which you had a broken relationship with him because of sin, but because of what Jesus did, he made it right. And then you have a brand new purpose. You have a reason for existing, a reason for being on this planet, and that is to be an ambassador and a representative for Jesus. That's the new life that you have as a Christian. But if you're not a follower of Jesus, I just want to go back to what Paul says. We implore you, those of us in this room who are Christians, we implore you, we beg with you, we plead with you, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. I think that the life you've always wanted, if you're not a Christian, actually maybe you need to hear this if you are. The life that you've always wanted is found in being reconciled to God. And I think those of us in this room who've been Christians for a while would agree, attest to that. That the life that we've always wanted is only found when we surrender our lives to the one who created us and wants to have a relationship with us. And that's why we implore you, be reconciled to God. Let's pray. God, thank you for this passage. I thank you that we are new creations in you. And that you give us a new identity. And I think there's some people in this room who really struggle with their identity. And I ask that you would help them to focus more on what you say about them than on what they feel about themselves. I thank you that you give us a new relational standing with you. And I know that there are some people here who have a broken relationship with you this morning. And I ask that you would bring them to yourself. And I'm grateful that you give us a purpose, a new purpose. And it's not to live for ourselves, but it's to be your representative. And give us opportunities this week to be good ambassadors, to be light in our dark world, to be salt in our flavorless and kind of corroding world that we live in. Help us to just shine the light of Jesus in what we say and how we act and what we post online, so that everything we do reflects well on you, so that others might be reconciled to you. We love you. We thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.